one of the things that nations enjoy doing is going and conquering their neighbours, but also they need to trade with their neighbours, so they have a love-hate relationship with their neighbours.
That's Michael Collins, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Michael Collins is a native of Dublin, Ireland, where he currently lives. He is a college professor and the author of several nonfiction books. He also publishes articles about archaeology, ancient cultures, and civilizations. He joins us from Dublin to talk about his latest book, Journey, An Illustrated History of Travel. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
This book covers a lot of territory. What inspired you to embark on the journey of creating this book?
Well, a few years ago, I guess about 3 years ago, I was going to Spain and I was trying to pack my case. And you know the way when you're traveling, you put in everything that you can think of, things that you don't even use at home, but you think you're going to use abroad. So I was thinking, well, how do people manage in the old days before they have these? And I was looking at the two little wheels in the bottom of the suitcase. And remembering, I don't know if you remember the old days where you had a kind of elastic rope and two wheels on a steel trolley. And I was just thinking, whoever invented that must be a billionaire by now, the new idea of these little wheels. So that's what started me off on the whole idea. And then it brought me back right to the beginning when people invented the wheel, because that was the first really, I guess, important part for traveling. And that allowed people invent carts and wagons and chariots. And then, of course, with those go roads, and roads mean bridges. And, you know, you connect one thing with the other. And the other thing I think was very important in the whole history of travel was the invention of the sail, of all things, which is linen or canvas. And by putting that attached to a raft, you could turn a raft into a boat and then a boat into a ship. And with a ship, of course, you can cross not just rivers or lakes, but you can go across the oceans. And that would have made the world that little bit smaller. And that set me thinking about the fact that 80% of the world is covered with water and only 20% is covered with land. And yet most of our exploration has been carried out on land. And I'm thinking, well, who was the great person who investigated underwater? And it was Jacques Cousteau, the French explorer who invented the aqualung, who gave us the lung which we use, the oxygen tanks we use for scuba diving. So, you know, putting one thing together, I sketched out the whole thing. I'd done a book on the Vatican with Dorling Kindersley, a guidebook to the Vatican with DK a few years ago. I went back to them with this idea and said, what do you think of a book on journey? And they said, yeah, sounds good. We do a lot of eyewitness guidebooks, so let's try it. And I must say, I'm so pleased because this is a collaboration. It's not my work alone. It's also, we've been able to collaborate with the Smithsonian in Washington, and they've provided most of the images. I'm just looking, there's 360 pages, but there must be at least 1,000, if not more, images and photographs throughout the whole book, which makes it appealing, I think, to the younger generation who will be attracted probably by the whole spirit of exploration and bravado and conquistadores, etc. And then the older people, and I was showing my mother this book just today, who are more interested in the photographs which are closer up to the present day. And she was looking at some of the black and white photographs and saying, my goodness, this was in my lifetime and in my mother's lifetime. So it makes it very immediate, if you like. But I think the thing that I just take my hat off it to is the bravery of people in the past who scaled mountains, who went down underwater, who climbed, you know, the most extraordinary barriers in order to expand the horizons of human knowledge.
Well, you cover so much history here that you've divided it into seven ages of advancement in travel to help us grasp it. Give us an overview about these seven ages.
Well, I suppose the first part that I started off with was, as I say, the ancient world and the invention of the sail and of the wheel, and then how that developed into the setting up of nations. And one of the things that nations enjoy doing is going and conquering their neighbours, but also they need to trade with their neighbours. So they have a love-hate relationship with their neighbours. And then that naturally led us into a third period, which would be the age of discovery. And while we're very familiar with Columbus and the discovery of the New World and the Old World, etc., there was a Chinese explorer who 150 years, I think, before him, Zhe He was his name. He had travelled with, I believe, up to, now it could be an exaggeration, 1,600 ships to explore India and Saudi Arabia. And then I, you know, carried through that what the whole exploration period and discovery was. And, you know, people went off to discover spices, coffee, teas, and then, you know, the life on the high seas, the pirates, the invention of the stagecoach, and, of course, the people who held up the famous stagecoaches, all of those had to get their page in glory, their 15 minutes of fame. And then I came towards the end by talking about the invention of the steam engine in the 18th century, and then with the golden age of travel, which also gave us the car. And finally, I tried to finish off more or less with the age of flight, which would be, I suppose, the exploration of outer space. Because when you think of it, we're not going to stay on this planet forever. If our feet are so restless and our hearts are so curious, I'm sure that we're going to push beyond the boundaries of Mars. And even in order to survive in this planet, if anything were to go wrong, we may be well advised to set up little satellite stations all around the planet within the orb of gravity. So I suppose at that stage, I'm just guessing. I'm just making sci-fi at this stage. But I think the whole thing is that people are fascinated. We won't sit still, and we never want to stay at home. We always want to be on the move.
I'm talking with Michael Collins. His book is Journey, an Illustrated History of Travel. And you tell many stories in the book, so this is probably an unfair question. You talk about these epic journeys in history. Is there one that's a particular favorite for you?
I suppose that's a difficult one, but I'll tell you the one place I would love to go, and that's along the Silk Road from Europe to China. A friend of mine cycled it. He's Spanish, and he cycled it about 3 or 4 years ago and disappeared. And I didn't hear from him for about, almost 2 years. And then I got an email one day, and he said that when he was in China, he'd met a Chinese girl, and he settled down and got married. I thought, my goodness, you know, when he started that journey 12 months earlier, because it took him about a year to make that journey, he'd no idea he's going to meet the wife of his dreams and have children in China. So I suppose maybe that's one of the places I'd love to see. It's a very barren route, actually. It goes through present-day Afghanistan, which we know for different reasons. But it was, in its day, it was packed with people along the spice route, along the Silk Route, trading. And, you know, that was where the invention of coinage came, the development of languages. So, as you say, it's busting with history. So probably a hard question, but that would be my best guess.
So you've researched all these different modes of travel. Have you settled on a favorite? What would be your favorite mode of transportation?
Well, I think actually the old-fashioned train is the one that I really like. I'm old enough to remember the steam engine. Now, not very well, but even when I was a kid, we had a steam engine going around Dublin on occasions. Now, it wasn't in regular use, but you know, the noise of the steam engine, the coal being thrown into the engine itself. And also, one thing I'd love to do in life would be to go on the Orient Express. I think that goes from Paris through to Venice and then on maybe into Constantinople, Istanbul, as far as I know. But that's, if I had a dream that I'd love to do something like that, that is one of the expeditions I'd like to undertake.
You touched on this just a little bit earlier when you were talking about kind of the sci-fi aspect and looking ahead. What other thoughts might you share as you look forward, as how future travel may develop?
Well, I'm very interested. Elon Musk, for example, has been pioneering, as you know, obviously the car, the electric car, and different forms of energy and of transport. And I believe one of the things he's trying to do is to invent, if you like, a bullet train, which may even go underground. That would be possibly worked, if I understand correctly, by magnets. So it's a change of forms of using energy, because I think it's probably true that fossil fuels are going to let us down in the future. Either they're going to be all burned up, or they're going to cause so much pollution that they're going to not be worth continuing on with. So I do think we need to find new forms of energy. And I think, therefore, travel is going to depend on the form of energy which we finally settle on.
Michael, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Michael Collins joined us to talk about his latest book, Journey, an Illustrated History of Travel. More interviews on a wide variety of topics are available at kpr.ku.edu/conversations. You can also use our KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.